Live.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Heathen Hour podcast. I am co-hosting today, standing in for Shannon Q, who is unfortunately out. But lucky me, I get to spend this time with Godless Cranium, your usual amazing godless host, as well as we are joined today by a deist named Mr. Brass. Mr. Brass has a YouTube channel where he covers a wide variety of topics, including history and philosophy, and he was a former Christian. So we're going to ask him kind of his journey from Christianity to deism, and why deism? Why not agnosticism, atheism, or some other alternative ism in the soup of isms that exists? So welcome, Mr. Brass.
Hello there. The podcast. Yeah, I'm Mr. Brass. It's nice to be on. Glad you guys could have me. I've heard much good things about this, so I'm very excited to be on and share my views.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. GC, do you want to kind of start off the questions, or?
So basically, I just wanted to know. You said that you used to be a Christian, and then you've kind of floated over to deism by examining arguments. Could you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, just to give a full background, I was always in a very liberal Christian household. Like, we the closest thing we ever really came to religious is, like, my mom used to say, oh, Jesus loves you and God is looking out for you. And that was basically the extent of our theology. It was never really enforced on me. So, you know, they kind of, you know, we were very non-denominational. So it actually did bother me later on in life. Because I wanted desperately to find a denomination to fit into, because I had some personal experiences, and I just said, look, I want to be a part of a denomination of Christianity. And I eventually just, I settled on Methodism for a while. I thought, you know, I liked their views on the Pope, their charity work, that there was this close by. You know, so I settled on that for a while, but I began reading, like, philosophy. I read some history of the Christian church. I also, what really convinced me was reading into the neuroscience, and I eventually more or less became completely unconvinced of the whole soul concept. And once you kind of lose that belief in the soul, you know, the whole Christian worldview kind of just comes crashing down on you. Eventually I would say, like, I was sort of strong agnostic for a long time, where I just said, you know, we can never know that God exists. Like, that's just something that's beyond our comprehension. I was mainly up there for a while. I was actually a part of more, I watched atheist videos constantly. I was very much a fan, you know, but then I began seeing some problems, like, with some of the history and some bad philosophical arguments. And, you know, eventually I just wanted to learn, just, I wanted to extend it. I wanted to learn more about religion, and I can criticize it better. And eventually I just, you know, I read books like, you know, like by Voltaire, by Thomas Paine, like, and I eventually, you know, also read the Jefferson Bible. And I eventually just came to the discussion, like, what was the worldview I currently had? And, like, comparing that, you know, Christianity, atheism, and stuff like that, I did, like, an analysis of, like, what are the worldviews, what are they offering? Where does the argument seem to be going towards, and who's really investing in the arguments? And I eventually just more or less settled on deism eventually. I think a lot of Christians really are just deists, but they more or less are just, they're cultural Christians in the sense, like, they're raised in an environment that just happens to be Christian, and their beliefs are completely deistic.
Mr. Brass, the audience is having a hard time hearing you. Is there any way to sit closer to your mic?
All right, sure. Yeah, is that better?
Okay, say it again.
Is that better?
I can hear you okay, but I have headphones on, so it might be different for other people. But...
yeah. Oh, you know. I mean, I have my microphone, like, it's a part of my headset.
Oh, I see. Okay. You have like a gaming mic going on.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Brass, you are a YouTuber. You need a better mic.
I have three microphones and not a damn one works well.
Or just a podcasting voice, you know, where you just, you got to get that deep, you know, project volume from your core, the core of your being.
Well, yeah, if you can just scream loud enough, you can avoid the mic issues.
So we had a super chat by Duke. Thank you, Duke. He asks, an incorporeal, invisible, impersonal God would be indistinguishable to me from there being no God. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question.
I get that a lot. But really, it comes down to like when you are examining explanations for a phenomenon, what you really want to do is find out like what best contorts to that. And like when you, like I go into the, I'm planning on, I might be doing some arguments to go over why I stuck more on deism, like with fine tuning and stuff. When you, like a lot of the Christian apologetic arguments you get, like if you subtract like the resurrection from it, you could pretty much just get deism right off the bat. Like a deist could accept every argument except the resurrection argument and be completely safe. I don't, obviously. I think there's multiple problems with like the Kalam. I think what's the difference is when you having, you're trying to explain a phenomenon, and when you have an argument that does that, and you have to look at the competing hypothesis, like the competing explanations, you just come to a decision on what is more probably the cause.
So I'm curious why deism as opposed to, like, it sounds like you've made this false dichotomy between Christianity and deism, and even atheism aside, I'm not pushing for atheism, but I'm curious why not any one of, you know, a numerous multitude of other religious options that are out there. You know, it could have been that, you know, the universe is some type of cosmic egg, or that it's God just exploded and it's, you know, the universe, we are the universe coming to know itself again, or reincarnation. Why deism of all the options that are out there?
Oh, yeah, that's actually pretty funny, because even in hanging in deism circles, you get a bunch of nut jobs that they believe in, like, they believe in sort of all sorts of crazy stuff, like the whole idea that some believe, like, time doesn't exist at all, and because they want to comport that to God by through the stupidest arguments I've ever heard in my life. And, like, you know, you get a bunch of crazies in every group. And what really got, like, because I read, like, I've actually gone and I've actually read commentary of the Quran. I have books on Taoism. I read some about Confucianism. I read a bunch of just history, and I just demonstrably became, like, unconvinced. Like, the more I, like, especially with the Quran, like, you know, when I read the Quran, like, when I read into the Quran, it's like, the whole thing just reads like historical revisionism. It's like, they knew what the events were, but they had to fit them to make a mold. And when I actually looked into Judaism, because I was actually thinking about being a Jew for a little bit, I just said, no, the God of the Old Testament is pretty much a dick.
Well, you said you read Thomas Paine. And, you know, Thomas Paine goes pretty heavy into the historical inaccuracies and internal contradictions of the Bible. So if you're talking about revisionism in the Quran, it's hard not to, as you dive into it, start seeing that in the Bible as well.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I think you can get some good, like, there is, like, with any historian, we'll say, like, you can get sampling size of history out of the Bible. You can get, like, you know, you can get, like, maybe a painting here, some, like, you can get, like, they might get the places right, but besides that, the entire thing's bullshit.
It's good insight into the culture.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one denies that. Like, if you wanted to learn about, like, ancient Near East cultures of that time frame, you know, you could get a very good grasp and understanding of them. But, like, if you're actually just look, like, if you want to be a strict historian, accepting the Bible like on a conservative ground seems to just, you know, you can't really do it. Thomas Paine, like, well, I love the dude. He's one of my inspirations. I do just, he does make some stupid arguments that, you know, although I can't really blame him because it's not like he ever pushed himself to be a biblical scholar.
And it's also not like he had access to the internet.
Well, yeah, that too. Like, I believe one argument he actually made was the whole, in Deuteronomy or something like that, it called a bat a bird. And you know, to us, you know, using our modern, you know, classification system, yeah, that seems absurd. But when you go into the ancient Near East and you actually see how they defined animals and classified them,
well, in 200 years, though, they'll probably look back at us and go, hey, look at all the dumb things they were saying back then.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, I mean, like, the bird, like, basically, to them back then, all a bird meant really was a thing that had wings and flew.
Well, so, and a lot can get lost in translation, too, is, you know, I'm multilingual, and I know that, you know, oftentimes it's hard to literally translate something. But even aside from that, I do think that that's one of his weaker arguments. But I think his point was more just that if it was the perfect, infallible word of God, that it would be impressively more accurate, both scientifically and historically, than what we actually find.
Oh, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, I make no bones about it. I don't find the Bible to be like the literal word of God at all. You know, I try to be, you know, I make sure to point out like bad interpretations, but I think even if you're an atheist and you're committed to representing your opponent fairly, if a fellow atheist is just bullshitting through an argument about the Bible and you know it's patently false, I think, you know, you should correct them on that, because,
like, I do that to Thomas all the time. I mean, yeah. The guy's never right.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, you know, like, there is some things like that are open to interpretation, but if they're just demonstrably wrong, then yeah.
So what exactly is a deistic God? So what do you think this God is? What do you think, it's conscious?
I mean, I definitely believe it's conscious, because, you know, a non-conscious thing really can't cause anything to really come into being.
Does it exist outside of the universe?
Well, I mean, yeah, it would have to be, like, you'd have to go really into, the, like, the basics of, like, what they say in the arguments. Timeless, spaceless, immaterial, yada, yada, yada.
Wait, what do you mean timeless, spaceless?
Well, you know, like, the William Lane Craig argument, where, you know, if it's, because, you know, time, space, and everything is, like, finite.
Well, yeah, and, but, I mean, we think of it as two separate things, but it's actually, you know, one entity of space-time.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I'm just saying, like, that's what they really mean. It's, like, outside of space-time.
Okay.
Outside of space-time would be, like, no space at no time, which would be a good description for something not existing.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it made of if it doesn't have any kind of material matter?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's actually very good. Like,
I mean, I'm not trying to put you too much on the spot, but I'm genuinely curious, just given everything that we know about our universe. You know, you're talking about how the universe is fine-tuned, and so you see, like, evidence for the existence of a God, but wouldn't it be a really big leap to say that, you know, that everything that we know about the universe and how it exists, that there's something that we haven't discovered, that we don't know of, that's outside space and time, that's infinitely more complex than our universe, that's able to create the universe, that's conscious? It just seems like a lot of leaps to me, and it seems like a violation of Occam's razor and the burden of proof and so many other aspects of logic. I don't see how well, I mean, that step can.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the first part goes into, like, what you discussed was, trying to think, Occam's razor, which really goes into, you shouldn't multiply entities, which, you know, and you should, I take more of, like, the Einsteinian principle, like, where he goes into, you should try to make things as simple as you possibly can, but not simpler. I do see God as, like, more, like, we tend to think, like, something can't really come from a simple beginning, because, like, if it's something that's really complex, but we know plenty of things like that. Like, for example, if you make a computer that can, you know, over time, you know, make more computers, eventually at some point the computer is going to become more complex than the person that actually made the computer. And so you start off with a little, you start off with a simple beginning, and it ends up getting drastically more improved over time.
So you think that God is less complex than the universe?
I just believe he's, like, divinely simple. Like, I think how they, divine simplicity goes, it's like, you know, he's the essence of existence itself. You know, no, he's comprised of no parts.
Aristotle.
Yeah. Zero
had a super chat. Thank you, Zero. He said many modern physicists think that space-time is an emergent phenomenon, so the idea of something's existing outside of it isn't incomprehensible.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm not a physicist, so I wouldn't really know that. But I mean, I have watched some of one of my friends who's in that, like, the science field, and, you know, Johann Rotz. He's very much into the idealism thing. I mean, I don't really know how much to feel on that, but he does sort of make the case that, you know, there are things that, like, he goes in, like, the Fredkin's Others, Hilbert space, he goes into all that stuff. And he sort of makes it seem like it's not entirely implausible to say that, an unembodied mind can't exist outside the universe.
So I always find it peculiar because I've had a number of conversations with, and I'm not putting you in this category, but with people kind of in a new age movement where they talk about God being energy, but then they also say that God is massless. And I'm like, but wait, energy is, you know, mass times the speed of light squared. If his mass is zero, then his energy is also going to be zero.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, it's funny in the deist community. That's why I just sort of got away from some of them, because some of them were just new age, and I just thought, yeah, this is just like some of the groups, like, either they were pushing bad history. They weren't pushing bad history, which is already a strike against me because I know some history. So they go into that, they strike that out, and then when they push demonstrably false science, like, they might be in the whole crystal healing stuff. And I'm saying, nope, I'm signing out. I'm done. That's it.
So I'm curious if you believe in anything supernatural that is, you know, aside from, you know, the existence of God. I'm not sure exactly how you would classify that as natural or supernatural. We can come back to that, but I'm curious if you, would believe in, or if you do believe in anything related to, you know, psychics, miracles, crystals.
Miracles? No, definitely not miracles or crystals. I mean, like, I actually did, because I've read into some pagan stuff, and when you, like, especially nowadays, paganism is sort of rising. Like, I wouldn't say rising in the sense, because some atheists just say they're pagan just to lull, like Christians, but it's sort of like how some atheists will say they're Satanists just simply so they control Christians online. But, you know, sometimes I've read into the whole occult matters. And, you know, yeah, I've just never been convinced by that. Like, I reject miracles, like, because there is some, when I do argue with Christians over it, they'll tell me, well, I mean, if you accept God exists, then, you know, why not make the leap and say that miracles happen? Well, I mean, I think that's just, you know, you're adding something more to what can be more simple. And I do take, like, what John Hicks says about epistemic distance.
So the thing I'm trying to, like, try to understand is that you think this God is simple. So it's basically the fabric of reality, right? Would that be a fair...
Yeah, I mean,
characterization.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty fair one. I mean, like, I don't want to really go into definitions because, you know, you can argue for about 3 or 4 hours over a definition without ever talking about anything.
Yeah, so, but basically, the nuts and screws of it, or whatever, nuts and bolts of it, are that that God is everything, right? Like, so you would be a part of God, right? So Earth.
I'm not like a pantheist or nothing. Like, I sort of define God myself as just merely like the eternal universal creative force, which is, you know, just found, like, he's the source of the laws and designs of the universe.
Sounds like Star Wars, the Force.
Well, yeah, I know. I get that a lot when I define it, like, but I get that off the deism.com website, which I would recommend people to go there. Please just know that they do some bad history, and they do push some things that I'm not entirely for. But I do think they offer some good books. Like, if someone's really interested in just, like, even an atheist, if you're just interested in just looking up for deism, you can go there.
So, but this God is conscious. Your idea of God is a conscious entity, correct?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, by creative force, you know, I think that implies, like, a conscious, because I don't think a non-conscious being can really, like, a rock is non-conscious. Like, a rock can't, like, create another rock, for as far as we can tell. I mean, unless you're going to willing to entertain the whole we're a brain in a vat thing, and maybe outside of a rock can actually do that. But as far as we can observe, you know, a rock is a non-conscious agent that doesn't cause anything outside of its own existence.
So right. It's deliberate and conscious, but what about being omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent? Like, these are all aspects that most modern religions, at least monotheistic religions, tend to attribute to a god. But, you know, you don't have to necessarily have an omnipotent god to create the universe. If, let's say that, you know, you're a kid, you're weak, but you could start a little spark and burn down, set a whole forest on fire. You know, if it's some type of chain reaction type thing, do you think that God just kind of set something off in motion and he has no control over it? Or,
I mean, that is actually a very good question, because often, like, discussion when it comes into deism, people will ask, all right, so do you believe, like, you know, in the omnis? Like, they'll go, like what you said, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. I've always found that, like, they overextend a lot of it, and I just find that you run into a lot of problems when you do the omnis. I think something can be sufficiently powerful, but not, like, all-powerful. Like, you don't need, like, for example, like, when you want, like, to turn on the lights to your house and you need the energy to be able to do that, you don't need to have all the energy in the world to produce the effect of lighting up your house or something like that. I believe, like, God would have to be powerful, but he wouldn't have to be, like, all-powerful.
Because I guess I can picture a scenario in which, I don't know if you've ever read Isaac Asimov's book or his short story, The Last Question or The Final Question, where...
But I would be interested in it.
Basically, humanity becomes more and more and more complex, but there's always this one question that they're trying to ask the internet as the internet gets, you know, smarter and bigger and faster and whatnot. And they keep asking, can entropy reverse itself? And a little bit of a spoiler alert, but basically at the very end of the story, it'll take you about 30 minutes to read it max. But basically at the very end, you know, this computer, they keep asking it, can entropy reverse itself? And there's not sufficient data to give a meaningful full answer. But then at the very end, as they're kind of, the last star is burning out and humanity is merging its consciousness, and the last person merges with this computer, so it's the smartest thing in the entire cosmos, that it then says, let there be light, and it answers the question. So I can kind of picture, in a way, a scenario where we become so technologically advanced that maybe we can, you know, set something in motion or set off some new big bang that starts a whole new universe or something, potentially. But I find it a little bit maddening when you start asking, you know, where did God come from? It's like, well, he had to have come from somewhere. Why aren't we the first ones in this process? Why, you know, maybe there is a sufficiently advanced technology that's indistinguishable from God's to us.
Actually reminds me, I can't remember the philosopher for the life of me that brought up something like that. Actually, it was mimicked in Thor, in a Thor movie where, you know, where Thor says, you know, in a, like, when they were referencing science and magic, he said, where I come from, science and magic are remotely the same thing. And like he said something along that lines, and it references like a philosopher where he said, like, at a certain point of technology and advancement, you know, magic becomes indistinguishable from science. Like, for example, walking on water, like, we'll think that that's so miraculous, but it's not like, it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility for us thinking of making a technology that allows us to just do that on our own.
Well, I think the difference is that technology bridges that gap. It's not just some natural, you know, phenomenon that's kind of inherent in the cosmos, some, you know, weird third eye energy or something like technological breakthrough.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's sort of like, I always, like, I don't know if you guys know Aubrey de Grey. Well, I don't support some of his longevity research or nothing like that. I never want to say that, but if someone wants to learn about biology and go into all that, I very much support that, because I'm very much pro-education to a high stance. But I'm trying to think of where I was getting the point of. I just think, basically technology is like, science is about learning about nature and how it works. It's like learning about all the cogs of the machine and how the machine works. While technology is learning how to manipulate the nature of the machine and to make something out of it. Like, you know, like a car is not going to be naturally found in nature. We have to make that.
Right. I still don't understand, like, I don't understand the whole thought process that you went through. Like, I just don't get, like, how you went from, like, so it's a conscious being, but there's no way to verify this being, or is there, do you believe that there's a way to verify it, that there's a way to prove that it exists, or?
I believe through, like, reasoning, like, how deists typically do is, like, we go through natural theology, like similar to what Christians go through, although obviously we reject like the whole Revelations things where Moses can go up atop a mountain and, you know, get revealed, like God says, you know, you must do X things, and apparently there's nobody there to verify that information. Like, you know, we obviously reject that part. We don't, like, you know, I mean, I really did sincerely, like, when I was a Christian, really try to look into that, to try to really be more convinced of the proposition that the Christian God exists. But I just deeply found it. It just did not make sense, like, on a historical level. I mean, nowadays, like, there has been some revival of, like, whether or not Moses existed. I just take more of an agnostic stance. I really don't care either way. If he does exist, he was nothing like how he was written in the Bible. If he didn't exist, then, you know, some guy, you know, some group of tribe just made him up. So, like,
I think that describes all gods. Somebody just made him up.
So he would just be like the Christian God in that perspective. So they would be the similar.
That reminds me of the last time that I was on. We were talking to Dr. Richard Carrier about the existence of Jesus, and it kind of came down to Jesus may or may not have existed, but either way, it doesn't really make any difference, because if he didn't exist, well, then he's a myth and it's not real, and if he did exist, well, he could still just be a legend and it's a bunch of stuff that people made up about him.
Well, yeah, I watched Aaron Ross' video where he went into that. He said, like, there can be two options here, and atheism is safe with either one. Yeah. Either Jesus doesn't exist, and, you know, we already established that, we already know Christianity is bullshit anyway, so we know with more certainty that Christianity is bullshit, but if he does exist, well, we can simply put him in the Joseph Smith category of religious figures that existed. Like, none of us here denies that Joseph Smith existed as a real person. Now, we believe that the religion of Mormonism that he founded is completely bonkers and untrue. But we don't disagree with the idea that a man named Joseph Smith existed.
Right, but if he was to claim that he was some omnipotent being, then I would be saying, no, that's not true. And that's kind of what Jesus did.
I mean, if you ever read, if you've read some of the stupid claims that, like, some of his followers make more claims. They kind of remind me of Christianity, and I think how the Jesus came about and stuff. Like, you know, some people, after Joseph Smith's death, say that he's done pretty much all this miraculous stuff. Even during his own lifetime, I believe, people claim that he healed a woman who had, like, a broken arm or something like that. So it seems to be pretty common for, like, people that are proclaimed to be prophets to show some sort of miraculous power.
What about, like say Christianity, for instance, even if it's not true, Christians will argue that their religion offers something to them. What does deism offer to somebody? Because it sounds like he would just be, like, an absentee god that there's no reason to worship him, no reason to do anything.
I think it really depends on the motivation of coming through it. I think it's... a lot of deists that I personally know and am friends with, we didn't really come into being a deist because, you know, we wanted the emotional blanket of believing in God. You know, like, I honestly do tell people, if you're going into deism because you want to feel good about yourself, you want to feel like, you know, you're loved and stuff like that, you know, do yoga and smoke weed because, you know.
That should be a bumper sticker.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's like, if you're going into deism because you want that, like, I would love to see, like, you know, more deist get-togethers and where deists can talk to each other. That unfortunately isn't the case as of now. I hope maybe later on in the future that will be a thing. But I think if people are really coming into deism just because they want that emotional blanket, I think, for one, they're stupid. I think what it should be, the first and foremost thing that people go into a religion with is, like, all right, let's examine the arguments from all sides and let's see, like, you know, who, like, let's come to our conclusion about, like, which, what are the arguments that make sense? What are their comparative, like, you know, who has the best philosophers, who has the best history? And who's actually showing that they want to know the truth about these propositions?
So I just wanted to get past the deism for a moment and ask you. So we were talking before we started the show about one of your videos on how, because you're part of the Red Pill Religion crew, which is Max Colby and a few others. And they're known for, I don't want to use the word attacking, but attacking atheist channels, atheist people.
I think it's just you, GC. They never come after me.
Well, they come after Godless Engineer and Caitlin Tilley quite a bit.
Am I just too nice of an atheist? Do I need to be more of an asshole?
You're an honorary Canadian at this point.
Sorry, I'm so sorry I cut you off there.
Yeah. Can you lay out what that video was basically about, Mr. Brass?
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed that I recently, you know, get hostility, even though I clarify my position over and over again about my role in the Red Pill Religion group. You know, there is, like, me and, like, we're not really, like, we're not, like, a church or a ministry where, you know, we all agree on certain, like, where we all have, like, our assigned task of what we're to do. We share some common threads of what we, like, if you're joining, like, the YMCA or you're joining, like, any club, you're going to have some things that you guys agree with on some things. But that doesn't necessarily...
Your mic is going crazy. Just you know, I don't know what it is. It sounds like you're jumping in water at some point.
All right, so, you know, there's some groups of people that... like, there's some things that we agree on, and there's just some things we demonstrably don't agree on. Like, for some things, like, I agree with Max that, you know, that sometimes you have to be a little bit more out there, and you have to be, because people generally, like, sad to say, like, you would think reason would win the arguments, but sadly, people tend to jump at the people that are, and take more attention of the people that are more bombastic.
Well, I honestly don't see any real art. Like, I could write one of Max's videos, right? Like, I could It's basically, look, these guys are bullies. They're part of some skeptic mafia.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think atheists should pretty much love that, Logan. Like, and just run with the skeptic mafia.
Yeah, they're attacking my children. Atheism is boring. If I just included all of those things, I could make a Max Colby video. And yeah, pretty much every video, and I've watched quite a few of them, as you probably know. All of them kind of run the same script. So I don't really see any good arguments there. They're not saying, look, this guy's wrong and this is the reason why. It's more like, this guy's wrong because I say so. Here's a whole bunch of, I can provide links and stuff, but there is never any links in the description box. So,
I mean, I do remember, like, we do sometimes, Max does provide some good historical references. Like, when we want to go over, like, for example, the Holocaust or, like, the Catholic Church's involvement in that situation, we might like link to an Amazon book, and Max might tell, like, you know, because I think Max has read most of the books that we reference, or like at least someone on our team has read the books, and you know, and we go and we list the references of the sources. Although I do think like we could be better at, you know, instead of just listing the books out there and recommending them, we could also go into the books
and give quotes and stuff.
I completely support that. I mean, I'm always looking to make the videos more informative, but obviously, you know, I'm just one guy out of a group of probably, like, I don't know, about 20 people, give or take.
But do you see the argument that Thomas was attacking and calling people Nazis and saying Christians were Nazis because they're Christian and they're bad people and they're horrible and all this other stuff, and we should silence them and all that kind of stuff, right? And then I'm friends with Thomas and I do regular videos with him and live streams with him and I hang out and we're all friendly and stuff. We're not disagreeing. Can't you see how that might rub off on you, and that's why people view you in that light?
I mean, to an extent, yes, but I also do believe at some point, like, I think a bunch of tribalism does come into place. And I think some criticisms are just widely out of place because, like, they want to attribute everything Max has ever said to me as if, like, I haven't multiple times said, like, you know, at this point, do I have to wear a T-shirt that says two people can be friends but not agree on everything?
Yeah, there's some to that, but also, like, it would depends. I think it depends on the severity of it too, right? Like, I mean, if me and Thomas are disagreeing about, I don't know, like, which chicken place is the best, that's a whole lot different than me agreeing with Thomas or like associating with him on in a friendly manner when he's doing other things that I would view as unethical, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, for one outlandish thing that's been leveled at me is they'll say you're an anti-atheist bigot who wants to watch atheists get burned at the stake. I get that leveled at me, and it's like even with a conservative interpretation of this situation, I don't know how you can get that. Like, for one, it would be absolutely stupid to say that I'm of all people anti-atheist, because for one, I'm a member of multiple atheist groups, like, that are led by very, very atheistic individuals who some may be anti-theist. I think some of them just don't care about religion at all. And, like, I'm friends with some of them, and, you know, I'm a part of these groups. I have multiple atheist friends. Some of my most favorite philosophers, like Paul Draper, J.L. Schrodinger,
Bertrand Russell,
Bertrand Russell, all these philosophers, like, all these atheist philosophers, I'm fans of their work. So, I mean, to say that I'm an anti-atheist bigot is sort of stretching the, I mean, if you disagree with Max and you disagree with something I said, that's one thing, but you should try to, like, the principle of charity, you know, like, try to give the most charitable interpretation of your opponent. I know that's hard. I fail it too all the time, But I mean, I think it's at least a good principle to say to yourself to at least maybe one day you'll live up to it.
Yeah, I think the principle of charity is good. Like, I mean, you try to take the most charitable view of somebody, whatever they're saying. That's good. But I do think that there is a point where you say, look, this guy, you know, if somebody is, say, a white supremacist, and I'm like hobnobbing with them on, I know I'm not saying red pill religion is white supremacist, but I'm just saying, like, if you go up a notch to something that's, you know, most people would view as horrible, and then you are hobnobbing with them, right? And you're like, hey, let's hang out and do this cool stream and stuff like that. And you're not saying, look, this, what you're saying isn't right and it's not good. And you're hurting the cause, or you're hurting our cause, or whatever it is. Then at some point, you kind of, that dirty water kind of gets smeared onto you. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do completely get, like, you know, Shannon Q, and some other people have pointed that out to me, where it's not like they have a problem with me specifically, but they think that, you know, by me associating with it, that I'm endorsing it in some way or form. But if you actually look at the video, I know a lot of them have been taken down, but like anyone that knows me knows that whenever I've been involved with the chats and with Max, and I've ever felt that he's gone too far, I've always been one of the first people that said, hey man, you're going too far, stop it.
I would be like saying, yo, stop it, like every third word, because yeah, I mean, he rarely says anything that isn't going over the line when it comes to atheists.
Well,
I mean,
like, here's the thing, like, if he's just saying, like, he's just making a rant, like, you know, that's, you know, I don't really go, because I think sometimes a rant can be constructive, depending on how you do it. Like, yeah. I think Christopher Hitchens did some really good rants.
Well, if the rant is factually correct, right?
Well, but I think what the problem where I really come, like, there's some, like, a lot of the problems that I have with Max isn't really that he rants, but the idea that he just doesn't let an issue die. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, here's how I see it, because I'm a very simple guy. When I have a problem with anyone online, and it's, like, and it's come down to where, you know, they're making fun of me, they're just being an ass or something like that to me, I just block them, and that's the end of the conversation. I don't mention them very much. I might mention them once or twice in a conversation, but I just kill the issue right off the bat. I let the issue die. But with Max, like, someone could step on his toe 20 years ago, and he'll still be bringing up the guy that stepped on his toe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I
love that Thomas switched his thing to Atheist Mafia. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny as hell. I mean, here's the thing that
that's actually the same font as the Godfather movies.
Oh yeah, I noticed that too. That's awesome. Like, here's what I do. Whenever, like, when an atheist does a response to like a red pill religion movie, sometimes they might insult the group. And what I just simply do is I take whatever insult that they gave the group and I just apply it to the next video. So, like, Emperor Atheist, for example, called me and the people in Max's group, Max's cronies. Mm-hmm. And the next video, like, after I heard about that, I said, hello guys, I am Max's crony. How are you guys doing today?
So, and you're owning the insult, basically.
Yeah, because here's the thing, I think people fail to remember today is that words only mean bad things if you allow them to really mean bad things. A word in of itself is amoral.
I definitely need to be more mean to you than in videos.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I think you did a pretty good job in the last two videos as far as I've seen.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, something only really, it's only really powerful if you let it get to you, you know? Like, if you kind of embrace it or, you know, brush it off, then you disarm it. Yeah. But if there's an element of truth to what someone is saying, it can hurt. It can, you know, because it's a, not just a pebble in your shoe, but it's like a rock that really rubs away at your skin, and it gets under your skin and it bothers the hell out of you. Or you have to resort to some type of mental gymnastics or cognitive dissonance to try to get around it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I get, like, if someone has a legitimate critic, like, I always tell these people this, like, I was talking to, you know, GC about this before. It's like, if someone wants to leave a constructive criticism on my videos, like, I'm not going to block that. I'm not going to say you can't do that. But I'm saying, like, for example, like, God, GC will do a response video to me, right? And his fans, instead of, you know, leaving a constructive criticism, like saying, oh, you did this and this bad, like, you know, what they'll do is they'll just take the entire, like, they'll say, they'll literally go word by word everything, you know, GC said, and they'll simply copy and paste. And I said, look, if you just wanted me to watch the video, you could just said, here's the link, and that could have been the end of the conversation. You didn't need, because, like, what's the point of me watching the video if you're just going to take all the objections GC made and just going to tell, like, put it in the comment section? If you're going to be, if you're going to say I'm an idiot, or if you're going to say I'm being dishonest or something like that, I think you at least have the onus to make a constructive criticism of me. Like, you know, I would respect that for anyone, not just like I've had to do that with Christians as well, because here's how I always find funny, because I used to think this was just a behavior amongst the crazy fundamentalist, but I found it very common, like, if someone disagrees with you on anything, they will label you as the worst possible thing that they can think of at the moment. Like, for example, like, if I criticize atheism, for example, I'll get people in the comment that says, oh, you're just a fundamentalist, young earth creationist Christian that wants to oppress the atheist community. And if I make fun of Christianity or a bad argument a Christian has made, oh, all of a sudden you're a dogmatic atheist that wants to bury religion and persecute religious people. I'm like, you're both idiots.
I get that all the time from anti-theism, that they say that anti-theism is basically, I want to forcibly remove religion and make people not believe, or I'm a communist.
Or both. you have to sometimes, you know, because not all communists are anti-theists and not all anti-theists are communists.
Yeah, but it's also like a pervasive thing in, like, like my last video was on Reza Aslan saying that exact thing. He literally said that anti-theists just want to forcibly, if
he's a demonstrative, like, even David Woods, like a Christian apologist, you know, called him out, like, because he portrays himself as this intellectual that has all these credentials to go over the Bible and stuff, but when you actually look about his actual credentials, he's not as a credential as he says he is, and he's a demonstrably known liar, which even people like Rationality Rules has shown in his videos. He's a demonstrably known liar, and he's very just dishonest person. And I like, whenever you watch him, like, on Big Thing, because he's done a couple videos for them, he's, you know, you get all the downvotes on his videos because he's just awful.
He is awful.
I'm not going to argue with either of you there.
Yeah, but what about? So I know that you said that you've been either blocking or removing comments that are derogatory in your comment section, Brass.
Yeah, I've been moderating. What I would say, like,
people moderating,
you know, moderating comments. Like, I mean, I've always wanted to do that anyway, because, like, I originally wanted to start my channel and do that because I was originally thinking of making my channel more business-like, to be more professional, although my attitude sort of goes against being professional. But I've been wanting to make my channel more professional, and a lot of channels that just want to have more of a professional style do moderate, because...
Get a mic. Get a new mic.
Well, yeah. I definitely need to do that. Like,
first step.
But yeah, like, it's just stupid I'm never going to stop the comment section, because I do think there is some legitimacy to doing that. Like, I'm never going to just disable the comments like a lot of Christian YouTubers do. Mm-hmm. Or some atheist YouTubers do that too, I find that surprisingly enough.
Like, honestly, I don't even think Steve Shives does that. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Atheist Experience has disabled the comments in some of their videos.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Thomas? Because you're a fairly large YouTuber, so
yeah. I mean, I'm in most scenarios, I'm a free speech absolutist, unless it's like, you know, advocating for violence against someone or, you know, inciting them to violence or crime. But I believe in the free marketplace of ideas. And if someone is going to come into my comment section and tell me I'm wrong and they actually have evidence to back it up, then, well, I want to go where the truth leads. So I have no issues with people coming in and disagreeing with me in the comment section, as long as they're not bullying other people in a way that is creating a ton of trauma, you know.
What happens if you made a video, though, and it was just like filled with "you're stupid" or picking on your personal appearance or how you sound or something like that?
Are you serious? Is that actually a what if?
Yeah,
that's my life. Like, that's just the nature of the YouTube comment section.
They are pretty cancerous.
Yeah, I know. Here's my thing. It's like, I moderate some comments. Like, if someone leaves me a very constructive criticism and they're putting in the effort to really show me why I am wrong, but, you know, yes, I completely believe in that. But I also, you know, I'm a minarchist libertarian, where I do believe, like, when you own your own channel, you have the right to, like, unless, you know, of course, you're going against YouTube's policies, then I believe, you know, you have the right to have your content the way that you want to do it, like, run your channel the way you see fit. Unless, you know, of course, you know, you're saying F you to YouTube, and in that case, they have the right to stop you.
I agree with that, but it isn't really about what you should be allowed to do. It's more about what you should do, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I get that. I mean, like for example, like when, we talked about before, like with when you responded to me, like if someone leaves a constructive criticism with me, you know, I'll keep that. That's fine. But like if someone is, for one, just going to just repeat everything you said, and if that's not bad enough, what they might do is they might say, "Oh, invisible sky daddy," you know, they'll have, like, I'll get like five or six people that just say invisible sky daddy, Santa Claus, fairies. Like, at that point, I just say, no, you're an idiot. You're done. That's it. Done. Because when you allow a lot of that talk to come around, like, it just makes the entire section look stupid by comparison.
We're almost out of time, so I just wanted to, Trevor Lunn asked a good question in the comment section. He asked, Godless Cranium, how does Mr. Brass distinguish between nature and what he ascribes to God?
Deist, what we typically do is, like, nature is what our scripture, it's like our Bible, you could say, where what we really want to do is, like, we do use natural theology, like how Christians use it, but although we don't argue for the resurrection, you know, we don't believe in that. We want to explain a phenomenon like
I think I lost him.
Yeah, I think we, lost Mr. Brass. It went off in mid-word, so I'm pretty sure that it's something on his end. I don't know. It sounded like he was on a balloon or something.
His mic may have gotten unplugged.
Yeah, that might have happened. We'll wait maybe a second. I don't know. Yeah,
I'm kind of curious what he was going to say.
Yeah, me too. I don't know.
Can I do a shameless plug?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Someone in the comment section asked me to, or asked if they could get that Atheist Mafia on a shirt. And so, I've set up right now, and it'll be up in about probably less than 5 minutes, but it's, if you go to shop.holykoolaid.com, then there will be a shirt there, and you can also get like mugs and stuff and hats and whatnot that say Atheist Mafia on them.
Should definitely have a dead horse below it.
That'll take a little longer to design, but
well, I don't think Mr. Brass is coming back. I don't know, his picture is there, but I don't hear him, so it's 9:30 anyway, I guess, so we could wrap it up. It was a pretty good talk, though. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah for sure.
Good stuff.
I still have a hard time getting to deism from, you know, I can see being an agnostic and saying I don't know, but it just seems like kind of a stretch to make that positive claim.
Oh, who is this?
Is he coming back in?
Hello?
All right.
Rip potato Mike. That's funny.
Did you swap it out?
Did you swap it out? Yeah.
Yeah, you hear me?
Hold on, I'm turning your mic up. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
All right. How I distinguish between nature and God is really, you know, I kind of do with like, you know, Christian apologists do, although of course I disagree with them on much. What I typically do is I go for the natural theology and I want to better explain a phenomenon. And if I find that the argument more points to the direction of God, you know, we can distinguish between nature and God, obviously, through that, because if it's not nature, then, you know, and if it can be, you know, and so the supernatural is the only explanation that makes sense, then, you know, we can make a distinction between there, if that makes any sense at all.
No, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I guess if it did, I'd be a deist.
Yeah.
So we were just going to wrap it up. Where can we find you, Mr. Brass, if people want to check out your channel?
Well, yeah. You know, obviously, you can find me on, you know, my YouTube channel is named after me. It's Mr. Brass. I recently put out a video actually going after missing the mark.
You're putting out a video criticizing missing the mark? Oh, that'll be interesting.
Oh, I recently put out the video because he made a bunch of, he said stupid stuff about deism, and so I had to correct him.
Oh, well, there we go. That's good. Okay, I'll leave a link in the description box. Also, thank you, Thomas, for helping me out and filling in for Shannon. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you guys again.
I'll leave a link to your description or to your channel in the description box as well. Also, if you send me the link to your Atheist Mafia t-shirt, I'll leave that in there as well in case people are curious.
Yeah, I'll definitely shoot that to you.
All right, perfect. So. Thanks a lot for joining us, Mr. Brass. Thanks a lot, chat, for coming and sharing this time with us. Take care.
Yep.